creation of human being is a proof of his might and power. They did not come into existence of their own will and desire. Their births, their growths, and their mental developments are all subject to the law of creation as decreed by him. They are physically bound to obey them. Neither in their births nor in their deaths have they any choice or power. At the time of their deaths, their souls are withdrawn from their bodies, and bodies are put into graves where they disintegrate. Then each one of them will be resurrected individually and will be retributed according to his deeds. During their lifetime, they had all been given chances to achieve their emancipation and salvation. They had also been shown the correct ways to attain the Lord's favor, and were also given time and opportunities to reach the realm of his grace and pleasure. They had been provided with fairly enough chances to dispel their distrusts, misgivings, perplexities, and doubts about religion. Then they were given complete liberty of thoughts and deeds in this world to think as they liked and do as they desired, so that they might train their minds with the help of such trained minds. Free will and the span of life allotted to them, they might find the purpose for which they were created. The time given to them was long enough to provide for eternal blessings in the hereafter. In quite simple and easy ways, these facts about life and death have been explained to you in the form of correct examples and additives to help and improve your faculty of thinking. You can take advantage of them if only you develop a virtuous mind and pious soul, a strong will, and a judicious and prudent disposition. Fear Allah like a person who has heard his message and bowed before it, who admits the sins committed by him and recognizes their enormity, who is afraid of the consequences of his actions, who performs good deeds, who dreads the wrath of the Lord and hastens to lead a virtuous life, who believes in the day of judgment and undertakes honesty and piety, and when advised to take a warning, accepts the advice and abstains from evil deeds. Fear Allah like a person who faithfully believes in his commands and sincerely decides to follow them, who repents the sins committed by him and the good work left undone by him, who carefully follows in the footsteps of virtuous people gone before him, and when he is told of truth, he recognizes it and follows it. Fear Allah like a person who spends his life in search of truth, and when alarmed by vicious circle of a wicked world, discards and renounces it, who provides himself carefully for the hereafter, who keeps his mind free from evil desires, who purifies his soul and prepares to secure for himself a place in paradise. O you who have been created by Allah, keep in mind the purpose for which you have been created and fear Allah, lest you should fail to fulfill the purpose. Be afraid of him as much as he wants you to be afraid of. If you believe that he will bring his promises to fulfillment, and if you fear the horrors of the day of judgment, then try to deserve all the blessings that he has reserved for you. He has given you ears so that you may hear and preserve in mind things useful to you. He has given eyes to you so that you may acquire such knowledge as will bring you out of the darkness of ignorance and make you see the light of reason and wisdom. He has also given you so many useful organs of body, each of which is composed of many parts. whose functioning depends upon their interdependence and their symmetry, their forms and periods of their utility, and their coordinated action to serve the body, and their connection with heart, which is properly fed with blood and nourished. In fact, the perfectly expedient body and mind are the blessings bestowed upon you, besides so many other bounties and glorifying boons and protections. He then fixed an end of life for every one of you and has kept it secret from you. In the records of the past nations and lives of individuals, He provided opportunities for you to study the footprints on the sands of time and to be warned of the consequences of evil deeds. Lives of men who were rejoicing to their hearts, content, and had perfect freedom of action, have useful lessons in them to teach. Just study them frequently and see how quickly death overtook them. They did not get time to satisfy their desires fully before death put an end to their lives and placed them beyond any further possibility of fulfillment of their wishes. When they had health and opportunities, they never thought of preparing themselves for the hereafter. When they had youthful vitality, they did not care to be warned. What were they waiting for? And what are you waiting for? Are you in the bloom of your health, waiting for sudden and merciless attacks of diseases to teach you a lesson of not pinning too much faith on life and its charms? Are they living amongst you, waiting for death? What is this delay for, and to what effect? Do you realize that when the hour of departure will approach, when pains of diseases and pangs of regret will have their sway over you, when the suffocation will not allow your saliva to pass down your throat, when you will be tossing in bed, turning from side to side, and requesting your friends, relatives, and children to come to your help? Will there be any time left for thought and action? Will your relatives prolong your life and keep away the death from you? Will the weeping sympathy and sorrow of your relatives be of any use to you? No. Death will certainly come and will take away your life with it. You will be placed in a dark and narrow grave, bound hand and foot, and alone. There, the insects and worms will eat away your skin and flesh. Gradually, normal decay will completely destroy your body, and change of time will fade your reputation and fame. Even your grave will disappear, making room for a house for other people, or a grave for a dead one. What will happen to you? Your strong and robust body will be decayed. Even the bones will turn into dust. Your soul may be lying under the burden of your sins. Then your soul will have complete faith in all that had been told about life after death. It will be first-hand knowledge. But this knowledge will not be of any use to you. There will be no time for you to increase the stock of your good deeds or to repent your sins. Is this depiction fictitious or allegorical? Is it not a reality? Have you not seen people around you passing through all these stages? Were not some of them related to you? Are you not brother, son, or father of some of those who have died? Do you not realize that you will have to pass through similar stages before reaching the threshold of death and passing through it? Will you not pass the way they have gone before you? Yet your hearts are still not desirous of achieving salvation and are indifferent to guidance towards truth. You are still bent upon going the wrong way, as if all these teachings of religion are not meant for you, as if death and decay are not for you, and as if to acquire wealth and power, and to enjoy them to your entire satisfaction is your privilege. Remember that you will have to pass the Sirat, bridge over hell, a place where people will stagger and slip down, and where at every step there will be a great risk. Fear Allah like a wise man, whose mind is so filled with thoughts of tomorrow that he has forgotten everything else. All his ideas, words and deeds are concentrated on the sole purpose of thinking high thoughts, saying good things and doing good deeds, so that a deserving place in paradise may be achieved. Whose mind has realized the enormity of his wrath, and to escape it, who exerts himself to the best of his ability. Night prayers have kept him awakened when many people are sleeping or enjoying themselves. In the hope of divine rewards, his days are spent in doing good deeds, even under the scorching sun and under the fatigue and thirst of fast. Piety has kept his desires in control. All the time he remembers Allah. He is aware of the dangers and pitfalls before he encounters them, and avoiding dubious and crooked ways, he takes to the true and straight path so that he may reach his destination safely. Vanity and pride do not lead him towards self-deception and do not upset his mind. He is never deceived by doubtful or false arguments. He knows his place in paradise. He is aware that he will be rewarded. He has faith in the promise of his Lord. With his faith and hope, he leads a peaceful, happy, and contented life, always busy in doing good work and always at peace with life and its troubles. Thus, he leads a glorious life and passing this period of transition with meritorious and exemplary character, he reaches the next world happily and gracefully. He knows the dangers one has to face there and protects himself well with the help of sublime thoughts, ideal virtues, and noble deeds. In this way, he passes the few days of the transient stay allotted to him in this world. He concentrates on the ways and means of attaining his favor and successfully endeavoring to shun vice and wickedness. He prepares himself to meet his death. What can be more sublime reward and blessing than a place in paradise? And what can be the worse punishment than hell? Who can be a mightier avenger than Allah? And who can reward more handsomely than He? And what book can be a better guide in this world and more powerful defender in the next than the Holy Quran? I advise you to fear Allah, who has arranged in the most perfect manner to enlighten you about the good and bad aspects of life, of virtue and vice, and of sin and piety. He left no chances for you to make excuses, to pretend ignorance, or to plead and postulate justification for sin and wickedness. He has warned you of the enemy, the Satan, who silently and subtly insinuates, allures, and drags you towards eternal damnation, who encourages you with false hopes, who presents most dangerous crimes and the most damnable sins in ravishingly beautiful colors and makes them appear harmless. And when, once he has succeeded in dragging you to his trap, has persuaded you to work for him for your damnation, and has fully gained his purpose, then and only then he opens your eyes to realities, praises you of the enormity of your sins, enlightens you of inevitabilities, and warns you of the sad consequences of your words and deeds. But this is always too late, and there will be no time for you to repent or undo the evil done by you. Just have a look at man who received his form and perfection of his body in the intense darkness and thickly curtained regions of his mother's womb. In the beginning, he was a microscopic, shining, and intensely active living organism, like a solidified lump of blood without any particular shape. Then he gradually evolved and became human embryo. And then he was born a weak baby, thriving only on breastfeeding. Gradually passing from that stage into childhood and then into youth, he reached full manhood. Allah granted him a perfectly working heart, a sound and well-protected mind, a tongue that can speak, ears that can hear, and eyes that can see, so that he may acquire correct knowledge, may find out what is good and what is bad to him, may hear useful advice, may realize its usefulness, and may shape his life according to sound dictates of wisdom and truth, abstaining from vice and adopting virtue as the principal quality of his character. But do you realize what actually happens? When his body develops into its normal proportions, when he acquires vigor and health, and when he grows to be tall and powerful, he becomes arrogant, refuses to be led by truth and virtue, starts groping in the darkness of ignorance and vice, acquiring wealth and power, and begins enjoying base pleasures to his heart's content. Not being satisfied with this, he risks his present existence and his eternity and ruins his soul and salvation for the sake of life's vicious enjoyments. He is neither afraid of any danger, nor does he fear consequences of his deeds. He continues in this way till the time of his death, intoxicated with vice and wickedness, and still leading a sinful life. He meets his death. He neither did his duty to man and to Allah, nor did he care to earn divine rewards. Actually, he was busy with evil and inequity, and engrossed in misdeeds and wrongs, when fatal disease overtook him. Unexpected as the attack was, it left him confused and confounded. Agonies and sufferings of the disease and pangs and paroxysms of the ailment kept him awake during the nights and restless during the days. Gradually he was drifting towards death. Before the eyes of his devoted brother, his fond father, his affectionate sister, and his loving and wailing mother, he was lying in the agony of death, his senses sore and failing. He was in a state of paroxysm, and his breath was choking into gasps. And finally, he passed into oblivion, submitting his soul to death. Then he was wrapped in a shroud, a manifestation and a symbol of his utterly hopeless and helpless state. In this condition, his body was submitted to every kind of treatment offered by others. He was obliged to yield and to bear every indignity. He could neither resent nor resist, like a camel overtired and exhausted with long journey, and ill with serious disease. He had no control over his limbs, and he could not move them. He was in need of help and support of his relatives and friends, who carried him in a coffin to the grave. It was a strange house and a residence, where all worldly connections were totally severed, where nobody would come to see him, and which he could not leave and to meet others. In that abode, the relatives, the friends, and the mourners left him to his fate and went back to their homes. In that new and strange place, he had to face horrors. He was obliged to submit to the questions about his life put by the angels. Replying to them, he had to leave his arrogance, haughtiness, and conceit. Circumstances forced him to adopt meekness and humility. The worst horror of the place is the torture meted out to those who deserve it. Remember that for sinners, there will be no relief in the grave to overcome the exhaustion and sufferings of illness before death. No tranquility and no peace. And nobody will come to their help and rescue. There will not be even death to relieve them of the horror and torture. It will be a constant and endless punishment without respite or interval. O servants of Allah, where are those people who were giving long lives, but they wasted them in ease and comfort, in vice and luxury? Where are those people who were provided with good minds and equally good opportunities to acquire wisdom and to know truth, but who, even after realizing and understanding the true ways of life, wasted the faculties endowed and the time granted and the knowledge imparted to them? They were given time and opportunities, but they did not make any use of them. They were gifted with sound health and robust physic, but they used them extravagantly and unwisely, forgetting that these qualities were the blessings of Allah and deserved gratitude and judicious use. They were blessed with long lives and plenty of good things. They were warned of the consequences of bad deeds, and they were promised the divine rewards. But nothing kept them from vice and wickedness. You have their examples before you. You should refrain from such vices, as will bring wrath of Allah upon you. O you who have eyes and ears, who have health and vigor, and who have wealth and power, have you ever realized the evil effects of an evil life? Have you found a way to escape the wrath of Allah? Have you found anyone to shelter you from it? Can you run away and escape from it? Can you find a refuge from it? Is there any possibility of coming back to this world after death and undoing all that you have done? Then ponder and think carefully what you are doing with your life, where you are going, and how you are deceiving yourself. Just cast a careful look around you. Out of this earth stretching around you, far away on every side of you, yours and every other person's share is only about the space of a grave. You will lie there with your cheeks on nothing but bare earth. You are not going to get anything, however hard you may try. Then why all this craving for power, might, glory and kingdom? If you arrive at this truth and reality, then, O people, make correct use of all that has been given to you. When there is still health and energy in your body, when there is still life and opportunities at your disposal, when there is still time to search for truth, to find it and to follow it, when there is still time available to do what you ought to do, when you still have a place to flock together and have a spirit of cooperation to work together, when you still have a chance to do good or to undo the wrong done by you, and when you still have time to repent and regret, then repent and do good. Do good before the door of repentance and the door of action are closed on you. Before the peace, tranquility, and comfort leave you forever. Before distress and adversities overtake you. Before troubles, anxieties, and fears overcome you. Before death closes your eyes forever. And before his wrath descends upon you. Sayyid Razi, the original compiler of these sermons, says that this sermon was so effective that before Imam Ali finished it, people started weeping. Many of them were shivering and many others were trembling in their seats. And long after the sermon was over, there was dead silence in the masjid and no one dared to move or leave his seat. Some people have named this sermon as Khutbah-e-Ghara. Sermon 87. In this sermon, Imam Ali has referred to the malicious propaganda carried on against him by Amr bin As. It is a wonder that the son of Nabigha, name of the mother of Amr bin As, daily instigates the Assyrians to rise against me. He tells them that I constantly joke and that I am fond of sports, jests, fun and frolics. He keeps on deliberately lying against me and as such is constantly committing sin. Remember that it is wicked and sinful to lie. You know very well that Amr bin As himself is an inveterate liar. He usually lies. He makes promises without intention of fulfilling them. If he asks for a thing, he presses for it. And if he is asked for a thing, he behaves like a miser. He habitually breaks his pledges, never keeps a promise, and is unkind and cruel. In battlefield, before the swords are drawn and battle begins, he is usually very bold in giving orders and very conspicuous in pretension of leading the army. But when the combat actually begins, his greatest tactics is to show his opponents his bare buttocks. I swear by Allah that the thought of death has always kept me from pursuits of pleasure, and his, Amr bin As's, callous indifference to the hereafter always makes him bold to tell lies. Until he was paid very richly to compromise on his faith and conscience, he did not swear allegiance to Muawiyah. 788. A few attributes of Allah and a few pieces of advice to his followers. Apparently these passages are parts of a very long sermon. I testify that there is no creator and ruler of the universe but Allah, the Almighty. He is one and has none to share his might and glory. He has been in existence since eternity. Nothing existed before him, and reality of his attributes no mind can grasp. He is such a one that division or splitting into parts of his entity cannot even be imagined. No eye can see him and no mind can imagine him. O servants of Allah, take warnings from useful examples and learn from clear and tangible instances. Let the horrors of punishment keep you from sins. Take prompt advantage of good pieces of advice and religious teachings as if death is holding you tight in its grip and all your worldly connections have broken as if you are being driven towards the destination at which every living being is decreed to arrive. On the day of judgment, every human being will be accompanied with an angel guide and an angel witness. The first one will usher him to the seat of judgment, and the other will testify as to his faith and deeds. So far as eminence and honor are concerned, there are stages in paradise. One is superior to the other, surpassing in excellence and excelling in greatness and glory. The divine blessings will continuously descend upon its inhabitants. They shall forever reside there in peace. They shall not suffer from old age and shall have neither provocation nor deprivation. Sermon 89. An advice to people to sincerely believe in religion and to act according to its teachings. Surely Allah knows the secrets of the hearts and thoughts concealed in minds. His knowledge surrounds everything. His might overpowers everything, and he can do whatever he wills. Every one of you should work to secure eternal blessings during the time allowed to him before death. You should act in time before you are deprived of it. Do good deeds for your permanent abode in the paradise during your temporary stay in this terrestrial home. O people, fear Allah about those things which He in His book ordered you to remember. Take care of the rights entrusted to you and obligations laid upon you, because Allah the Almighty has not created you without a purpose, and He has neither spared you of obligations and duties, nor has He kept you uninformed or ignorant of them. He has explicitly explained to you what to do in life, what not to do, and why not to do. Your thoughts are not hidden from Him, and He has fixed the span of your life.